Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. I'm going to ask you to please turn with me to the book of Psalms. And I'm going to ask you to look into Psalm 104. I'm going to read the psalm in its entirety. It's 35 verses, and I'll ask you to follow along with me. It is Psalm 104 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it would never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose. The valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You made springs gush forth in the valleys. They flew between the hills. They gave drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quenched their thirst. Beside them the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. In verse 14, you cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants, for men to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of men, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen men's hearts. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nest, the stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats, the rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The suns know its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night. When all the beasts are of the forest creep about, the young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun arises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man looks out to his work and to his labor until the evening. And in verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sun, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. And then verse 31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looked on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. May the Lord be praised through the proclamation of His word. Many of you know that the book of Psalms is broken up into five smaller books. In particular, there is a series of chapters. It's 90 through 106, is known as Book 4. And it primarily speaks about God being active in man's life and in Israel's life in particular. Last week, when we had our Thanksgiving dinner, we looked at Psalm 103, which was David proclaiming blessings unto the Lord in the first five verses in 103. And how he says, I praise the Lord, I extol the Lord for who he is and what he's done for me. In verses 16 through 18, he admonished us to also do the same, to praise the Lord for what God has done for us. And in the last verses after that, he admonished the angels also to show gratitude to God. All because, as in verse 19, God, through Jesus Christ, has established his kingdom and he's sitting upon his throne, which makes him worthy to be praised. And so as we look at Psalm 104, this addresses one more aspect of how worthy God is of receiving our praise and our gratitude. And what is it talking about? We are talking about the great Creator. As I was looking at the passage this last week, I was thinking, how often do I sit back and actually meditate or muse on the thought of the great Creator himself? How often do I go back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, which I asked to have read parts of it this morning, to say that he is the Creator, and he did something and it was the first day. He did something else and it was the second day. He did something else the third day. He was in his creation. How often do I sit back and I realize this is how powerful a being that I believe in. He has created everything that I hold to be dear and precious. And that is where David starts off in Psalm 104, in verses 1 through 4, where it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul. The Lord there is the one who redeems your soul. And it says, O Lord, my God, you are very great. So when he says Lord here, the capital letter Lord, if it's in your Bible, if you notice that it's all capitalized, it means Jehovah, the one who saves souls. And then God there is capital G-O-D, which means the one who is the strong one, meaning so he is the strong one able to save your souls. And he says, you are very great. And then he starts to describe him. He says, you are clothed with splendor and majesty. Ladies and gentlemen, who else is dressed like that, with splendor and majesty? Do you think of being dressed with splendor and majesty? I don't. I usually think of where's the sweatshirt and where's the blue jeans. But God is not like us. God alone is dressed in clothing of splendor and majesty. Who else can dress themselves, as our verse says, with light? We don't even remotely think that way, that we could dress ourselves with light, that we would be like that kind of a person. As God has created light, Jesus Christ even said when he would to give us salvation and speak of it, that we would be enlightened. In John 8:12, he says, Jesus spoke to him and says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will walk no longer in darkness, but will have the light of life. Scripture uses the idea that, yes, there is this ball in the sky and it is burning and it's radiating heat and light to us. But also there is a spiritual enlightenment that also comes. And that, how often do we think that way? That God is the Creator that brings us life and light, and He also brings us spiritual light as well. We may have a passing moment of it, but do we meditate on it? As David is meditating on it and realizing how grand and how majestic the God is in whom we have believed. The God in whom you are worshiping. How fantastic is that? And how short we think. And how small we think. Our God is majestic. Notice we're in verse 3, how majestic it says. He lays out the rafters of his home in the rain clouds. Verse 3, he lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. If I were to change the vocabulary, it means that God lives in space, and he's made that his foundation. He says that also that he rides on the clouds in a chariot. He drives a Chevy in the sky. All right? The wind is his messenger. His iPhone is his messenger. Do we think of the sky as his messenger? Do we think of the sky as something that he rides upon? No, because we don't think that way. We think, oh, I'm on the earth, I'm down here, and we think short. How about, he says his messengers are the flames of fire. I know I definitely don't think that way. But David was in the Word, and David studied the Word. Where do ideas like this come from that he's meditating on? Would you please turn with me to Exodus chapter 13 in your Bible? And I'm going to read verses 21 and 22. Think of this a minute. As you and I read the Word of God, how often do you and I stop and actually think about what's being said? Or do we just read it like a story and we just move along through it and you go, okay, yeah. Or do we actually stop, meditate on it, muse over, allow it to touch our hearts and to change us? Think of this here. We're talking about, David is talking about, he says, he lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He's talking about in the skies. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. And he makes his messengers winds. His ministers a flaming fire. Where does this kind of stuff come from? Well, I'm going to take you to one small place. There's more here. I just don't have the time today. Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. Israel is wandering in the wilderness. They are looking for a deliverance from being in slavery. They are being delivered out of slavery. They're being brought to the promised land. And this is what's leading them. The Lord guided them by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. That way they could travel whether it was day or night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from their sight. When David read the Exodus account, which obviously he was taught from a young boy, he saw what kind of a majestic God he believed in. He saw how splendorous God really is, which caused David to break out into this song, this hymn that he wrote, regarding how great our God really is. And he says, "Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul." Where he describes him as he is majestic. He rides on the clouds. He is a pillar of fire. He is a pillar of smoke. But we don't think that way. We give him our own imagination of what we come up with and what we think of. How great and how splendorous really is our God? Would you notice what it says in verse 5 of Psalm chapter 104? He set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. You covered it, the deep, with a garment, that is, the waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder they took to flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. Our God is so great, He alone sets the boundaries of the face of the earth. What He's talking about is He is shaping the earth. He is causing mountains pushing up from the inner part of the world and pushing them up, and so that the water is moving out of a certain location. Who of us can cause that to happen? To have a valley so deep that when the water runs into it, that it becomes an ocean once it's filled. I don't know about you guys. I can do a lot of things in my life, but I can't make an ocean appear or disappear. I can't move it from one continent to another. But we have a God that has done that. And David is recognizing that. When we read passages like we had read earlier from the Genesis chapter 1, I'll pick out verse 6 and 7. It says, "And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." He's talking about the water in the air, the vapor in the air, and also the liquid that's on the earth. "And God made the expanse and separated the waters that are under the expanse from the waters that are above. And it was so." He's saying He separated moisture, and now there's stuff in the clouds and in the atmosphere, and then also the H2O, the saline that's in the oceans. That's how majestic a God we worship. Is that whom you worship? Are you awed by someone who is so powerful that He can move the earth, set it in its axis, in a gravitational pull so it spins around the sun? Do you realize if our earth were to move almost 20,000 miles away from the sun, our oceans would turn to ice? If our sun moved 20,000 miles closer to the sun, the moisture in the earth would evaporate. We would be too hot. He has set us in a rotation so that we can have life here. That is how majestic our God is. He has put us in a place where our earth can sustain us. Is that whom you believe in? Are you that wowed by that kind of a creator? He's so majestic that He even can take stuff like we know as water and then use it to sustain our bodies. Notice in verses 10 through 13, "You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild monkeys quench their thirst," or donkeys quench their thirst. "Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. And from your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work." I was thinking of something a while back. A couple of weeks ago, as many of you know, I was down visiting my son in Atlanta. While I was there, my son went to work, but he left a note for his wife. And he said to her, "Angel, have my dad check the water because I noticed there's this big pool of water out the side of the house." Well, I went out and I found it. The main water line going into the house had a rock pushed up against the water line. But dad had to dig a ditch that was about 4 feet long before I could get to it. And it was under a tree, a root ball of a tree where I found it. And took me about 5 hours. Well, you guessed it in this way. They were without water for the 5 hours while I had turned off the water. What you can't guess was there was supposed to be a dinner party at the house that night that my daughter-in-law was getting supper ready for Jan and myself and our in-laws and the family, and we're supposed to be having dinner. Well, she's supposed to be preparing dinner, People needed something to drink, and yes, there was no use to the bathrooms. Now, if that is that important, even in our time, what if we were to jump back now to David's time, some 2,500 years ago, you're in Jerusalem and there is no running water. You wanted water, you had to have a bucket or some kind of a container. You had to walk across town and go to the well or the stream and then bucket it and then walk it back to your house. I thought it was inconvenient that I couldn't go to the faucet. I can't imagine if I had to walk a quarter of a mile to get a couple of buckets of water. And David is putting out, he says, you make the springs gush forth in the valleys. You have fresh water for us that we have to drink. And because I don't know about you guys, how many of you have ever had the privilege of having some salt water to drink? Yeah, I know. I did when I was out in the ocean a while back and I got a mouthful. It wasn't. But anyways, the point being, God is the one that gives us life-giving water. And besides Christ being the representation of that as a metaphor, but Christ gives us life as well. Brothers and sisters, this is the kind of God that we believe in. Water, sunlight, air. We live on an earth that produces life because He has put it there. He goes on in the next verses, 14 through 23, says, you cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for men to cultivate. What he is saying in the next half here is that we have a God that causes vegetation to come about, and we need the vegetation to eat. We need something to eat. I don't know about you guys. We just went through Thanksgiving. I know I ate more than I should have. I probably won't need to eat until Christmas. But that being said, the idea behind this is that He is the one that sustains life, even plant life. This is the kind of God that we believe in. And even more so, as we move on through the verses, He has put things in space, the stars and the moon. He has caused the calendar to rotate. Well, of course, our calendar is a little bit different than the time when David had his calendar. They used at that time a lunar issue with the moon going around, and it went so many times, once a month, and they would determine a year by it. We have a different one. We use a different time space. But the idea is that we recognize the changing of the seasons as God has us moving around in space. The Genesis 1:14 says, and let them be unknown for the signs and for the seasons and for the days and for the years. You and I depend on the seasons coming and the seasons going. They have continued on since the time of creation. We think of spring, summer, fall, winter. We prepare for it. We think about, oh, I need a generator because if it snows again like it did in Buffalo the next week, what am I going to do without having heat in my home? We prepare for these things. The seasons come and the seasons go, all because this majestic God in whom you and I worship has set these things in place. Is this whom you worship? Or is it a God of your own imagination? How great is our God? How majestic is our God who causes fresh water to be able to have crops grow, to sustain livestock, to sustain us? A God who causes the seasons to come and to go, century after century, decade after decade. How majestic is the God that you worship at this time? David concludes in this last paragraph with this, O Lord, how manifold are your works? How many? How many of them? It's almost like he's musing about it. He's thinking, you know, I was thinking he's created this. He's created water. He's created air. We have dirt here. We have great soil there. We have the great oceans here. The oceans are filled with multitudes and multitudes of creatures. What would happen if All the creatures in the oceans were to die. What will we do? You know how much of that sustenance that we need? Our God is great, and He is very wise. He has made all the earth, and it is full of His creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. He says, there go the ships on it, and the leviathans use it, which you formed a plan. These all look to you, in verse 27, these all look to you to give them their food in due time. That is the kind of a God we believe in. He says, and when you give it to them, that's the food, they gather it up. And when you open your hands, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take them away, their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, that's the third person of the Trinity, they are created and you renew the face of the ground. Oh, how diverse is our God and how diverse are His ways. Every living creature relies on His constant kindness for sustaining life. Is this the God whom you believe in? That He is sustaining your life? That He is giving you air to breathe? Water to refresh your body? Every living creature relies on His constant kindness for sustaining them. From the greatest of the sea creatures to the very smallest of the sea creatures. Everything on the planet Earth requires God's constant care and God's constant power to keep things living and alive. Can you imagine with me just for one moment if God removed His hand from His creation? If God removed His love from His creation, where would this world be and where would you be? All creation is in a constant need of our Creator, from the greatest whales to the smallest plankton. It is only through the work of the Holy Spirit that all of life is being sustained, and it is by our God. Brothers and sisters, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to Him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. As David summarizes his thoughts about this great Creator, this one whom he is worshiping, he is breaking out into song, a poem that is a song. He knows how glorious a God How glorious God really is. He is imagining this. God recognizes him. Think about that for a minute. God recognizes you. Who are we? Even in this world, as you look around with friends and loved ones, a place where you work, if you don't do your work well, work gets rid of you. Who are you? If you have a bad attitude and you're constantly arguing with your spouse just starts to, I don't need this. But God doesn't act like that. God is one who forgives us, who loves us, who constantly says, come to me, stand in the light. I will give you all that is needed for life and godliness. David recognizes that he is standing in the presence of a living God, an almighty Creator who created the heavens and the earth. How grand is he? He makes a comment. He says he touches the mountains and they smoke. Well, where did he get that from? Well, he got it from when he was a young boy being trained in his Bible. From Exodus 19, verses 18 and 19, it says, where the smoke of that time was rising up as a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled when God touched it. And as the sound of the trumpet blew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The people of Israel saw this. They recorded it. And David was musing through these thoughts in his head, and it totally blown him away to understand that this is the same God that he believes in. Someone who is powerful, he is a creator, and if he were to remove the air around you, you would be out of breath and you would die. And as the passage says, you would return to dust. David knows whom he is worshiping. He's not worshiping just some local deity. He's not just worshiping something of his own figment of his imagination. But he's worshiping a sovereign who has created the universe. This means for David, he understands that the sovereign has taken notice of him. And David was included in the sovereign's eternal plans in the same way that you and I have been included in the sovereign's plans. This caused David to say, I will sing as long as I have breath, and may my meditations on him be pleasing in his sight. Brothers and sisters, may I encourage you to think that same way, to think that the sovereign recognizes you, and may your meditations, may your time in prayer, may your time in the Word be something that is precious to you and to be pleasing in God's sight. Everyone who has breath, praise the Lord. For those who do not believe, David says, may they continue to willfully sin against him, and may their short lives be consumed by the earth. And may you be no more if you do not pay attention to whom you are worshiping. That was his final words, besides, let all of us praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I believe David was trying to encourage us and admonish us to realize in whom we need to worship. A creator. Someone who is so powerful, he can put the earth in space and have it pass around the sun. It's there at a perfect radius so that we don't know that the moisture on the earth doesn't turn to ice. If it's out too far, it didn't come too close, so it evaporates. It supplies us on all that is needed for life and godliness. Is this whom you worship? Is this whom I worship? Brothers and sisters, may we truly praise the Lord for who has created the heavens and the earth, for this is the one that is the great creator. He is the great I am that we need to be bowing our knee to. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father in heaven, as we have this moment just to muse about you, we thank you for being able to realize, as David did, that you are the great creator and that we are to bless the Lord, O my soul, for knowing who you are, the great I am. It is our privilege to be able to bow our knee, to come before you, to praise you for who you are. We thank you for giving us all that is needed for life and godliness. You provide it through the work of your Son, and we thank you and praise you for it. May you be glorified through the meditations of our heart, through the time we spend in your Word musing over you, and that we are now part of your grand and great plan. Oh, how majestic are your ways. Oh, how majestic it is to be able to worship you and praise you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Shall we stand as we sing our last song? Thank you. manger he came, made in the likeness of man to proclaim God's boldest love for a wicked sin, pleading with sinners to let him come in. Wonderful name he bears, wonderful crown he wears, wonderful blessings his triumphs afford, wonderful Calvary, wonderful grace for me, wonderful love of my wonderful Lord, wonderful life of Lord Mr. Free, free to the poor and the needy was he, unfailing goodness on all he bestowed, undying faith in the vilest he showed. Wonderful name he bears, wonderful crown he wears, wonderful blessings his triumphs afford, wonderful Calvary, wonderful grace for me, wonderful love of my wonderful Lord, wonderful death for it meant not to be. Calvary made his great mission complete, wrought our redemption, and when he arose, banished forever the lust of its foes. Wonderful name he bears, wonderful crown he wears, wonderful blessings his triumph across. Wonderful Calvary, wonderful grace for me, wonderful, wonderful Lord, wonderful hope he is coming again, coming as King o'er the nations to reign. Glorious grace is here to fail, his righteous kingdom at last must prevail. Wonderful name he bears, wonderful crown he wears, wonderful blessings and triumphs afford, wonderful Calvary, wonderful grace for me, wonderful love of my wonderful Lord. Would you please be seated? Any of you have a prayer request or how the Lord had blessed you this week through the holidays, maybe with friends and loved ones, before we have our time of fellowship? Heidi.
Well, after two false trips to the hospital, we finally have our baby. She was born Thanksgiving Day, Hannah Rose, and all is well. They went home the next day and are at home and getting accustomed to all that.
So. Amen. That is good news.
Yeah, Rachel has hard pregnancies, and it's a very long pregnancy because you know from the very beginning, and there's always some concern. So thank the Lord that he brought this little one to full term, and she's well.
Was Todd around?
Home, yeah.
He was home?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I can imagine he could have been on the other side of the continent.
He was for the first false start.
That is good news. Anyone else? Praise or a prayer request that we can remember in prayer this week? Walter?
I heard a sermon on Thanksgiving evening, and I can't tell you who the preacher was, but the message generally was that for Christians, every day should be a day of thanksgiving. We should start every day with a thank you, just for the fact that we have our faith and that our lives are wrapped up in the gift of Jesus Christ, and that that's the purpose of thanksgiving anyway. And it shouldn't be just the one day of the year. It should be every day.
Yes. You know, I had the Brazilian students come over, and I said, well, what do you think of this sort of a holiday? He said, we don't have this down in Brazil, so this is sort of unique. He says, so we get it. They thought it was just as an extra meal before Christmas. So that was interesting for them, too. But it is, and it is a good thing. It's a tradition we do have that we can remember what the Lord has done for us. And Mike?
ECC for us to meet there last week, and they did a fabulous job decorating and preparing, and we felt really pampered. What a wonderful time it is.
Yes.
If anyone hasn't seen the pictures on the church Facebook site, I guess that's where they are, right? Mm-hmm. That it's worthwhile. Yeah.
That's good.
Beautiful.
That's good. Anything else? If not, Carol?
Praise that little Georgia, my niece's daughter, is handling the treatments they're giving her well, and they're going to test her to see if it might decrease the treatments she's going to need. So I'm very thankful for that, because her prognosis this day was not good at all. And praise the Lord, is doing some prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But she needs continued prayer, please.
Dave?
Safe passage for Kayleen and company as they move back to Grove City.
Yes, very much so. Any others before we go to Lord in prayer? There's many people out or sick or are still out visiting friends and loved ones and aren't back yet, but. Yes.
I have a friend from a long time ago when I was a teenager, and it's kind of complicated, but her parents kind of became my parents, and her parents became my children's grandparents. And a couple times now, for some reason, I think her and her husband feel like my husband and I neglect them. Neglect them, not my children.
Okay.
And she's also sometimes can be very, very critical of my children. My children are all grown up, so it's not like I can tell my kids what to do anymore. But she's very critical, and also I think that they think they're supposed to keep in touch with them all the time, but they're so busy they can't pick up the phone themselves. And I had a conversation with her Thanksgiving night, and it was really hurtful. I don't quite know what to do. I feel like I should say to her, you know, my children are not perfect, and neither are yours. But at the same time, I'm thinking, is it really going to be helpful to even say anything?
Okay, we'll talk a little later. Any others before we go to the Lord in prayer? And then, no? Okay. Well, let's spend a moment in prayer, and we'll thank the Lord.
Today, Father, Father, you have stretched out the heavens. By your hand and by your word, Father, that all things have come into being. Father, your beauty cries out as a testament to us. May we ever be mindful of these things as David, the servant of our Father. Father, we thank you that we're able to come together this morning and to hear your word and to fellowship together with brothers and sisters. We want to remember Kayleen. She is traveling, Father, that you give her traveling mercy. We're thankful for the new grandchild, for Michael and Heidi. So that everyone concerned to conduct themselves just like they are.
Our Father, as the morning has moved on, we want to thank you for your constant love and care for each one of us as individuals and how you've taken care of us and given us all that is needed for life and godliness. We thank you for taking care of each of our families and that as we have the privilege of being able to be with friends and loved ones during this holiday and the Christmas holiday as well, we look forward, Father, to the time when we can spend with loved ones. And we thank you that your hand is constantly upon us, that we might be able to share Christ with them or in a way where we can say how you have blessed us and taken care of us. We thank you for the life of a newborn with Hannah Rose and how, Father, you've been gracious and kind there one more time. And you've brought life again into this world. And I think also what Walter had mentioned earlier, and that was that we should consider every day a day of blessing, a day of thanksgiving, because you are the one who is continuing to give us life and godliness and breath so that we can come, we can worship, we can encourage, and we can exhort those around us and friends and loved ones. We do thank you for the fellowship of the saints and how each one of us, Father, is able to be specially gifted in one way or another, where we might be able to show it through helps or counseling or whatever it might be, Father. You use us in different ways, but it is for your honor and for your glory. And we thank you for that. And, Father, I also do ask, Father, that you would help us to be able to counsel friends and loved ones, and have a concern for them, even sometimes when they seem short with us and they feel like they have a grievance. I ask that you would help us, Father, to look to your word, but that's where we find our guidance. We find the truths there. We find the principles there. And to know that we shouldn't forget these things, because these are where we gain our confidence. Our confidence is in your word and in what you have said. And when we repeat it, then we can truly we can have a hope within our heart that things will be done well. I also recognize, Father, that there are many who aren't here with us. I don't know if it is because they're sick or if they're with friends and loved ones during this weekend. I ask that you would bless them, touch them if they are sick, that you would, whatever they may have, they would get over quickly. If they're with friends and loved ones, that they would and have a great time of fellowship and with them. And also, Father, that you watch over them as they're traveling. Oh, Father, and as we have a time of fellowship here with some soup and sandwich, that you would use this food to nourish our bodies, and that we would also be encouraged by your Spirit being here, that we may have a time of fellowshipping with one another. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, because it gives us all that is needed for life and godliness. I do also, before I forget, Father, I think of Aaron and the bridge and the brothers and sisters there. And I also think of Marty and Isabel. Father, they've been such great servants of you. Please bless them and encourage them. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Shall we stand and we'll have our benediction and then we'll have a time of fellowship with soup and sandwich. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think, be glory, dominion, and power, now and forever. And all God's children said. Amen.